She's very good at having a great song, patriotic, for Memorial Day. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Amen. Speaking of songs, I just learned a new jingle to send my grandkids. You don't want to hear it. Praise the Lord. Please open in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 49. After you've been doing this 40 years, you begin to figure some things out. There are occasions, and I've shared with them, that when I go to the Lord to ask Him for the Holy Spirit to lead me and guide me, sometimes, for instance, this week, the scripture, although it was not spoken, the reality of the verse was, He answered him not a word. And I couldn't get the Lord to speak to me what I felt would be His direction. And then I realized a little later the Lord said, I don't want you to come to me just to get a sermon. I want you to come to me to love me. And I realized that I needed to just spend time with the Lord myself and to acquaint now myself with Him. And then out of that, out of the relationship, then he can bring forth. So Isaiah, so I tried to do that. Isaiah chapter 49 and verse 15. Can a woman forget her suckling child that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yeah, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. God's in the tattooing business. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me, meaning the condition of the temple and the destruction. He's aware of the situation. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank You that You are here and that You can never forget us. I pray for the Holy Spirit to help us today. For they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, and they shall mount up with the wings of eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and walk and not faint. We pray for that strength in the name of Jesus. Amen. I did something I wish I hadn't have done. I looked up on the internet to see how many wars America has been in. I'm convinced there's people that don't like our country because the things I read, they were trying to paint us as just this horrible nation that just wants to war, 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 war. And so their point was, is there's only been about 15 years since the conception of our country in 1776 where we haven't been to war. Something that I think our president subscribes to, and that's unfortunate. Oh, I shouldn't have gone there, but he should have never run for office, in my opinion. If he doesn't love the country, then let somebody run it that does. And his disdain for the country has been apparent. If you're a Democrat and voted for him, you need to be down at his altar repenting. Maybe not the first time, but the second time. Boy, I really stepped in it. How do you expect your church to grow with that? I'd rather preach the truth and not have growth than not preach the truth and have growth. Let me just put it that way. Honey, am I in trouble? But there are people on the internet that really are against our country. They think we're a warmongering country and no good, etc., etc. I disagree. But it is time this day when we remember and honor and give honor to whom honor is due. And obviously these soldiers who have died in battle are worth remembering and honoring. And we do that. And we're exhorted in the scriptures to remember for the purpose of honoring. Give honor to whom honor is due. And surely a soldier that has died for our country and has paid the ultimate sacrifice is worthy of honoring. Not only do we honor them, the Bible exhorts us to honor our parents. Honor thy mother and father. This is the first promise, that commandment with promise, that thy days may be long. Every day we're to remember the Lord's Day. It doesn't matter if it's a holiday, we still should honor God and worship Him. In the Old Testament, they would build monuments to help them remember. That's what oftentimes graveyards are about, or tombs. And in the Old Testament, He told them when they crossed the Red Sea to pile a bunch of rocks, that they would remember and honor the Lord of the great victory that He wrought them. Memory is an ability we have. Sometimes we are instructed to voluntarily remember things. But sometimes we remember things involuntarily. We didn't plan on remembering some things. In Luke chapter 16, verse 25, it says, "But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things. Remember." And he was forcing this guy to remember probably things he didn't want to remember. I'm sure we've all heard someone say, "I don't want to think about that." Because sometimes the brain will trigger a memory that you didn't want to think about. It's an involuntary memory. And the Holy Spirit sometimes will bring forth such a thought. Abraham said to the one who was complaining, didn't think things were done right, and said, "Son, remember, you had a shot. And Lazarus is evil things, but now he is comfort and you are tormented." One of the horrible things about hell is you have a memory. And that's an eternal memory. Speaking of memory, it is such a, on the same token, a wonderful blessing to know that God says that when we come to Him, our sins are forgiven, never to be remembered against us. And that is a wonderful promise to know that He cast them in the sea of forgetfulness, never to be remembered again. And he won't go fishing over that body of water that symbolically suggests where our sins have been placed. So your mind is either thinking of the present, I hope right now you're thinking of the present, or you're thinking of tomorrow, or you're thinking of the past. But God remembers us. He doesn't forget us. And something I've known in Scripture is that the Bible tells us that when you have gone through a rough time, and anybody that's been a Christian will go through rough times, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. But when you go through a rough time, a test, a trial, or something out of the ordinary, we find these words that it says, "And God remembered them." When you look at Genesis chapter 8, verse 1, these comforting words speak to us. It says, "And God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the cattle that was with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters assuaged. I'm sure that Noah in that ark over 300 and some plus days, that when it finally came to an end, God remembered Noah. And sometimes when you're going through something, and maybe God is developing your faith and you're learning to walk by faith and you wonder where God is, and you look for Him and heaven seemed to be brass, etc., etc. But at the end of it, God remembers you. And that is very encouraging. And God remembered Noah. And Genesis 19:29, we read these words, "And it came to pass, when God destroyed the cities of the plain, that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow, when he overthrew the cities in which Lot dwelt." You see, Abraham earlier was praying and interceding for Lot and for deliverance from that situation. And if there be 50 righteous or 40 righteous, Lord, if there be this, yes, but couldn't even find enough to spare the city. Numbers 10, verse 9, it says, "And if you go to war in your land against the enemy that oppresseth you, then you shall blow an alarm with the trumpets, and ye shall be remembered before the Lord your God. And ye shall be saved from your enemies." What I'm trying to say is, when you're going through something and you don't often have the presence of mind to be aware that He's there, and it's wonderful if you do, but God has a way of showing up and saying, "I haven't forgotten you." And that is very comforting. In Psalms 98, verse 3, it says, "He hath remembered His mercy and His truth towards the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God." Psalms 136, 23, "Who remembered us in our low estate, for His mercy endureth forever." Isaiah 49, 14, "But Zion said," that's us, the church, "The Lord hath forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgotten me." And sometimes you can go through things to the degree that you do think you've been forgotten, and you do think you've maybe been left behind, but we're reminded again and again, God doesn't forget you, and He's aware of you. And our passage we read is Isaiah 49:15. "Can a woman forget her suckling child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb?" What a sad answer. Yes, it may be rare, but they can forget. But God says, "But I will not forget you." Isaiah 49:16, He lets us know in a demonstrative way. He says, "Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands, and thy walls are continually before me." And oh, the ruined walls are before Him. The junk and the stuff that you've had to go through, He's aware of it. And He's mindful of your brokenness. I love the story that I was told. True story. Years ago, this minister had his Model T. And he was driving down the old, they're always country roads. You never hear he's driving a city road, but all these stories are country roads. And he's driving down a country road, and his Model T just quit running. And the car pulled over, and he got out. And those kind of hoods, they didn't lift up straight. There was the sides of them that lift up, and he lifted up the side of it. He's looking in, trying to figure, and he doesn't know. He puts it back down. He starts to get back into his vehicle when a limousine came pulling up behind him. Very nice looking limousine. And a gentleman got out that he did not know who this man was, dressed nicely. He came up and said, "What's the problem, sir?" And he says, "Well, my car quit running. I can't get it to run." He said, "Well, let me see what the problem might be." He thought, "Well, I don't know who this guy is." So they went around and opened the hood again. And he said, "This gentleman stuck his head under." And he said he had been there a minute, minute and a half. Finally, he lifted his head out and he said, "Okay, start her up." He said he started up and it ran. He said, in fact, it ran better than it did before it went bad. He said, "What is your name, sir?" He said, "My name is Henry Ford." He said, "I just don't like going down the road and seeing my car busted down. And I like to make sure that my cars run well." He's the one that designed the thing. He's the one that made it. How many see the application here that God made you? He don't like to see you broken down. And He knows you better than you know yourself. And He knows how to get you running and up and going. And He doesn't forget you. I had an amazing memory that I made this past week. I'm going to close with it because that's all I wanted to say. I usually go to the park on Saturdays, but it was Tuesday, and I kept feeling a gnawing to go to the park. And I kept thinking it, and finally it kept impressing upon me enough, okay. So I go to the park, and I'm waiting. I'm sitting down at the bench. I thought maybe I might be running into a certain person, but that wasn't to be. But I'm sitting there, and I realized I walked into 70, probably 75 people that were, years ago we used to be able to say mentally retarded, but I guess that's not politically correct. You're supposed to say mentally challenged. So here I am with, they're all around right next to the little kids' place, about 75 of them, and you could see six or seven of their workers that had their badges on that they were probably responsible for, 7 to 10, I don't know. And as I'm aware of them, I remembered when I taught swimming over 40 years ago, and was the swimming instructor for Ventura County, that they brought these type of people from all over the county to this pool. We were the only pool that offered swimming instructions to these people. And these children were anywhere from the first grade up to maybe the seventh. And I found it was a class of about 10 kids. They were the sweetest, most loving, most kind that I've ever met. And I was so taken by their affection that they had. And so I'm remembering that. And I felt like this would be what the Lord would want me to do. So I went to one of the people that I thought was the instructor. There was probably five or six, and little did I know that the one I picked was the one in charge of them all. And I said, "Sir," I said, "I'm a pastor that a few blocks away." I said, "Years ago, I had the honor and the privilege of working with this kind, and I'm asking permission if I could pray over them and bless them." I said, "I don't have any power, but I'd like to pray over them." And he said, "Well," he said, I don't know. He said, "You know, we..." I said, "Sir, I'm not trying to give any doctrine or push any particular creed or church. I just want them to know how much God loves them. And I want them to know that God loves them. And I just want to pray God's blessing on them." He said, "Well, you know," he said, "we couldn't force them to do it." I said, "I don't want you to force them. Just throw the invitation out." He said, "Hang on just a second." He walked over and got up closer to him, and he said, "I want everybody to listen to me." He said, "There's a pastor here that wants to pray over our kids." I forget the word he used. And he said, "So if you want prayer," he said, "Pastor," he said, "you'll just move here." And he said, "Anybody want prayer?" He said, "You just go where he is." And I moved over a little bit, and I'm swamped by about 40 people. And about 40 of them are gathering around me, and I'm just having them. I'm being covered with love. One comes up and says, "Hi, my name's Megan, and my name's this, and my name's that." And I And I'm just, my heart is warming. And I said, you know what I want to do? How many want me to pray over you? And they said, I do. I want you to pray over me. And I remember saying, do you know how special you are? And how much God loves you? And He cares for you? He loves you so much. How many know He does? And I said, do you know that? And they said, yes, we know it. And then some says, I said, I'm going to pray and ask God to show His love to you and to bless you. Would you like that? Yes. Okay, bow your heads. Most of them bowed their head, but there were a few kept peeking. And I began to pray. It wasn't any elaborate prayer, but it came from the heart. Oh God, these are so special to you. You said, forbid not the children to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. And God, they're so special. They're so wonderful, and you love them. And I pray you bless them and let them know how much you love them and how much you care for them. And let your blessed Holy Spirit just quicken their hearts. And I thought I shouldn't use the word quicken because they may not know what quicken means. But you get to learn words and you use them whether they understood it or not. And when I got done, I looked up and I'm wiping my tears and I looked over and there's three or four of their caseworkers. Some of them are wiping theirs. And there was a presence of the Holy Spirit that came. And with any sensitivity or spirituality, you could sense God. Amen. And I felt, God, that's why you wanted me to come today. And I'm glad I came. Would you stand? Father, may we never get away from the basics. May we never get away from those truths that are so real. That God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And Father, I pray that as I was honored to be able to bless them, and Lord, may we carry that message that God is love. And the Holy Spirit so wants to bless people. And I pray your Holy Spirit bless these people. And may we let our light shine. And may we let our salt out of the shaker. And oh, how He loves me. And oh, how you love me, Lord. And by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, that you love one towards another. The altars are open this morning. Let's find a place to pray and love Him back, shall we?